Welcome to our last section of Vayehi. Hebrew for and he lived. Man, these Torah portions have been so good. Can't believe we're about to hit number 13. It'll be Friday the 13th. So what? That's an inside joke. But anyway, people say you're going to hit Friday the 13th, but it's going to be Friday the 13th. We're going to get to the 13th one. So look, I'm going to leave that for Pastor. All right, look, this has been some great stuff. Look, if you go through the Haftorah and all the reading, but I tell you, there's so much information that we can learn from all this, so much we can learn from Yosef that we should have learned. But we know we come to the end of his life, and Friday's going to start. We're going to start with Moshe, and how powerful that's going to be. So it's like, and he lived, and we know the last 17 years of Yaakov's life was the best years of his life, to be reunited with his son. You know, I think about, you know, when Yeshua comes back, you'll be reunited with him for the very first time. We're going to be in awe. I tell you, to see the one you have been waiting for all these years. And you put your time in. So, anyway, but I just want to focus on tonight on what was said Friday. I was trying to get to the message this week, but it wasn't posted. But anyway, Pastor made a very important, I started out when he said about how we need to pay attention to the voice that's speaking. You know, they had to pay attention to what Yosef said, what recorded. When Yosef said, look, you do this, go put the money in the man's sack, they had to obey. So we have to be listening to the voice that speaks to us. And what was so important that I jotted down, because he said, how do we notice the voice? We need to go check what's being spoken to us. So I thought that was very important. That stuck with me all week. And so we're going to look at some areas, some things that, I want to see where Yehovah speaks. What should we be doing? We'll see what the word says. That's how we check it. And we're going to see what Yeshua says. Does he say something different? We're going to see what his voice says, or what the meaning. So you're not going to have no slides, but I have the meanings and everything. I'm going to give them to you, the numbers and the meaning. I got slides, but they're on paper. Mm-hmm. Let me just put it to you that way. All right. So we're going to start off right here in Bereshit in Genesis chapter 3. And then we just got to recap, because where are we going to find Yehovah's voice? We got to go to Matthew, then we got to go left of Matthew. So let's see his voice, what he says. And chapter 3, let's look at verse 8. And they heard the voice of Yehovah Elohim walking about in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of Yehovah among the trees of the garden. You say, why are we over going? We learn this stuff. Well, this is how important it is, because it's good to go back and just recap. But they heard the voice, and that's Strong's H6963 Col, Q-O-L, H6963. And they heard his voice, but they were afraid. And I thought they hid themselves. Well, let me just keep on reading before I go too far ahead. And Yehovah called unto Adam and said unto him, where are you? And he said, I heard your voice. Let me hear that word again. Col, H6963. And he says, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid myself. And that afraid, if we look at it, is Hebrew H3372. It means reverential fear in it, but he's in terror. This is, yeah. you're gonna go into there's different means. You got the paleo and you got the active, so there's different ones. But Israel, he's in fear because he hears the voice. Why? Because you've been hearing his voice in the church. Where we are now, we should be hearing his voice. We shouldn't be afraid of it. Because this is how he speaks to us. I've never heard it audibly, like we're going to hear, you know, hear a little while later when we're going to get to it. But that's something we should not be afraid. And we're going to look at some examples of that. But here he's afraid because why? And he said to him, and he said, "Who made you know that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you that you should not eat?" See, when you're doing wrong and you're not obeying and we're not paying attention to his voice, that's when you become afraid of him. We shouldn't be. So we see this happening. We know we went through this because this was our very first Torah portion. And I'm not going to get too far into that, but him and Eve, is Hawa, is afraid because they were naked, because they knew they did wrong. But there's that voice. And let's look at Devarim, Deuteronomy. What's up, brother? Chapter 30. And let's start at verse 8. And I promise you, by the end of the night, we're going to tie it all in, because it's going to tie in with the Torah portion. But we got to set the stage here. Chapter 30, verse 8. "And you shall turn back and obey the voice of Yehovah." How many of you want to guess what that word is? Kol. "And do all," and you're going to see that come up a lot. And we're going to see that Yeshua, when he's going to speak, we got to test it. "And do all his command which I command you today, and Yehovah your Elohim shall make you have access in all the work of your hand, in the fruit of your body, and the fruit of your livestock, and the fruit of your ground for good, for tov. For Yehovah turns back to rejoice over you for good, as he rejoiced over your fathers." Who is he talking about? Our fathers. The ones we, Abraham, Isaac, and Yaakov. And we're going to see that in the scripture. Verse 10. "If you obey the voice of Yehovah your Elohim," that's what we have to do. We have to obey his voice. And we're going to see that it's the same voice. "Of Yehovah your Elohim, to guard his commands and his laws, which are written in the book of the Torah. If you turn back to Yehovah your Elohim with all your heart and with all your being. For this command which I'm commanding you today," are we at commands? Yes. "It's not too hard for you." People say it's hard. The scripture says it's different. It's not hard. So what voice are we going to listen to? "Nor is it far away. It is not in the heavens to say, who shall ascend to the heaven for us and bring it to us and cause us to hear it and do what? So that we do it." That's a problem for some people. They don't want to read that little section so that we can do it. They say they're here. They don't have the want-to heart. That's the problem. We gotta let him work on our want-to. Because it's not hard when you want to, when you want to obey. The problem is when you do something wrong, then you get in fear, and that's where the problem starts. "Nor is it beyond the sea to say, who shall go over the sea for us and to bring it to us and cause us to hear it so that we do it." He's telling us that again. "For the word is very near you, in your mouth and in your heart, to do it." Three times. He's telling us. He's asking a question. Is it too far away? Is it in the heavens? Is it over the sea? Over beyond? Well, it's out of your reach? No. It's here. It's right here in the house. Verse 15. "See, I have set before you today life and good and death and evil." That word life is H 2416, hi. Tov, we know it's H2896. Death is Moth, M-O-O-T-H, H4191. And we know evil is Ra, 7451. You take time to, you go back and look at them. Look at all the meanings of them. But it's just so important when we get to these words. And in that, I am commanding you today to love Yehovah, your Elohim, to walk in His ways, and to guard His commands, and His laws, and His right rulings. And you shall live and increase, and Yehovah, your Elohim, shall bless you in the land where you go to possess. What happened to the children of Israel? Joseph, were they in Goshen? They increased. Because they were doing what they were listening to what Joseph said. They were listening to his voice. This is what you're going to do. And they increase. And we're going to see that in the next door portion. But this is where it gets bad. Because nobody, it won't stop right there. Nobody wants to keep on reading. We have to keep reading the message. We have to keep listening to his voice. He said, but if your heart turns away. Wow. And you do not obey, and shall be drawn away, and shall bow down to other mighty ones and serve them. So I went there to see, drawn away. It's H5080. And the word is nadak. And it means to thrust away, drive away, banish. I mean, you're not going to, you won't be accepted. When you draw away. I'm sorry, I can't see, because we're going to see what Yeshua says. If he says that same thing. I have declared to you today that you shall certainly perish. That's another one. What he said? You shall certainly perish if you turn back away. These are not my words. These are not the words coming from the pastor. This is the word that's already been written. It has been written. You shall certainly perish. Strong's H6. The word is abad. It means vanish, be destroyed, die, be exterminated, to destroy. You shall not prolong your days in the land which you are passing over the Jordan to enter and possess. That's what we're going to inherit, the land. This is what we was talking about. This is what was promised to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob. Let me keep reading. I have called the heavens and the earth as a witness today against you. And I have set before you life and death, the blessing and the curse. Some people just want the blessing. Therefore, you shall choose life so that you live, both you and your seed, to love Yehovah your Elohim, to obey his voice, and to cling to him. H1692. The back. Cleave to stay with, to be joined together. How important that is. Cling to him, for he is your life and the length of your days, to dwell in the land which Jehovah swore to your father, to Abraham, to Yitzhak, and to Yaakov, to give them. What we've been learning about Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. And Yaakov to pass on to his seed. Why? The land. This is what you're going to inherit. I like what he said in Revelation. Pastor was talking about the 12 gates. It's a miracle we got 12 gates, one for each tribe. And what tribe are you going to be related to? I just want to relate to one of the tribes. No, there ain't going to be a Gentile gate. I like that statement. Oh, boy, I tell you, this is good. I was reading this. I woke up at 4 o'clock. For some reason, yeah, I want you to get, when he wants your attention, I had my alarm set for 5. I'm up before 4, and I can't sleep. I get about to bed, and this is what, okay. I sit down, and it's cold. It was a little chill in the house, in our little camper trailer. So I'm sitting on the sofa wrapped with a blanket. Okay, y'all, what do you want me to say? Listen to his voice. Not me, not the speaker. Listen to what he says. So here we go. This was great. I mean, this passage, I remember this. This is one of the scriptures why I'm here today. I've heard this. I need to hear that. to dwell in the land which Jehovah swore to your father, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob to give them. So what are we supposed to do? When we hear his voice, let's just look at one spot right here. I'm not going to go into it. In Shemot, in Exodus, chapter 3. And I know this is going to be something we're going to get to. I'm just going to just kind of open up. I'm making a little leak for pastors. It just leaks out a little bit. This is all it's going to be. Chapter 3, verse 4. And Jehovah said, saw that he turned aside to see. And this is Moshe up on the mountain. And Elohim called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moshe, Moshe. I guarantee he got his attention. And he said, here I am. This is what he wants to hear from us. When he calls you, here I am. And he said, do not come near here. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place on which you are standing is set apart ground. Now you think Moshe, wow, really? You think he acted like that? When y'all gave him the command? You better believe them sandals came off his feet. You know why? You know what tribe he was from? From the Levites. The Levites. Think about it. When he went into the holy place, were the priests allowed to wear shoes? No. So y'all tell me, look, you're in the holy place here. Take your shoes off. You're going to see this. When we go get to the building of the tabernacle, we know the high priest, he didn't have shoes. So he's telling Moshe, take your shoes off. And he said, I am the Elohim of your father, the Elohim of Abraham, the Elohim of Isaac, and the Elohim of Jacob. And Moshe hid his face because he was afraid to look at Elohim. Now that's the reverential fear right here. Because he hears the voice of the one who's speaking. So that was just a little leak for you. I ain't got no more into that. But look, we can see Moshe humbling himself right here. Listening to the voice. Where he said, take off your shoes. Take off your sandals. You best believe he took them off. All right, let's get to another example. In 1 Samuel, Samuel Aleph. That's how I write in here, Samuel Aleph. I try to just practice. In chapter 3. Let's see. Jehovah called Samuel. And the young Samuel, see, it's not only the elderly also. It's the young. Yah doesn't look at your age. So I don't believe he really does. I mean, if you're willing, if he sees at your heart, because he knows, but he's going to call you. And the young Samuel was serving Jehovah before Eli. He was serving Jehovah. And the word of Jehovah was rare in those days. Just like here. There's going to come a time, he said, there's going to be a famine for the word. It was tough that day. And no vision breaking forth. And it came to be in that day that Eli was lying down in his place, and his eyes had begun to grow so dim that he was unable to see. And the lamp of Elohim had not gone out in the heckle of Jehovah where the ark of Elohim was. And Samuel was lying down to sleep. Where Jehovah is at, there's light. What are you saying? It might go out in some place, but where he's at, that's light. So where the ark was, there was light. And Jehovah called Samuel and he answered, here I am. I think the same thing that we're supposed to answer when he calls. And he ran to Eli. Who else ran? Abraham. Rachel. And we see Samuel. He's running to Eli. And said, here I am, for you called me. But he said, I did not call you. I did not call. Lie down again. So he went and lay down. And Jehovah again called Samuel. And Samuel rose and went to Eli and said, here I am, for you called me. But he answered, my son, I did not call you. Lie down again. Now Samuel did not yet know Jehovah, for the word of Jehovah was not yet revealed to him. Well, aren't you glad it's been revealed to us? Aren't you glad we live in a time and an age where information You can get it. The word is in your mouth. It's in your heart. We got to learn. We have to learn obedience. And know that the voice that's speaking to us, we need to make sure, because we're going to check. We're going to check Yehovah's voice. And Yehovah called Samuel again the third time. And he arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you did call me." And Eli understood that Yehovah had called the youth. So Eli said to Samuel, "Go lie down, and it shall be, if he calls you, speak, Yehovah, for your servant hears." And Samuel went and lied down in his place. And Yehovah came and stood. Ain't that amazing? And called at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel answered, "Speak, for your servant hears." We need to tune our ears. I remember a while back, I was talking about ears like a radar. And you're on the radar on your boat, you're unsure, you can, there's these little knobs on there, clutter. You need it. Rain. There's stuff to tune in your radar, especially the older style ones. Some of them now, a lot of that stuff is built in. It's way too high tech for me. But I'm more familiar with the little older ones that you can action the wave and the rain and the clutter. Yeah, you can play with these a little bit and adjust it. But I think sometimes we just need to adjust our ears, our hearing. We would see word. We would, when we sit down, we would understand more. We'd be more focused. Today we just, all week, well, it's been a couple weeks now, because we're doing some remodeling. We don't have our table. Finally today some ladies came in for the table. I said, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm going to put them on." I said, "Because I like sitting right here by the table, especially in the morning when I wake up early, because I want to, you know, because I can put my stuff here, put my stuff there. I'm in order, and then I can sit down and relax." I do, I miss the table. But, so you can tune in. It's the reason for it. I do on the sofa, on the chair, but it's like, I look like I'm so comfortable right here at the table, I can focus a lot better. But the point is, we need to tune to hear when he's speaking. And when he called, what do we say? "Here I am. Oh, speak. If I'm listening, your servant is listening." Look, when I would lie down, I know it's him. Because I can't sleep. I got to get up. I toss and turn, but I try not to be a little quiet, because we just in a little bitty box, feel like, so I don't want to make too much noise, but sometimes you just can't help it. But anyway, I just want to point that out. And Samuel, if we look at his name, it's the Strong's H8050, Samuel. His name is L. You got that L part in there. And you got, which a root word, when you pull it up and you'll get these root words, you're going to pull up another Strong's word, H8085, Shema. Comes from Samuel, means to hear, to listen, to obey. Then of course we get, there's three or four down there. One of them is H410L. We get the word L, which is God's or God. And there's one text in there that says Almighty God. That's in there. Another one is H352. And another root word you're going to find is H193. So this thing goes on. When you start digging, it's not shallow. This thing goes deep. And you can trace back, and all these things will have numbers. So you're going to match. You're going to be able to match the words. So all these, look, there's some great stuff when you sit there and listen and have the want-to heart. So, now let's see. Now that we established Yehovah's voice when he's talking, because that's H6963, Cole. And we're going to see in the New Testament, in the Brit Hadashah New Testament, some of you, they're going to be in the Greek, and you're going to see, I'm going to give you the number, but when you look at the definition, it's going to be, you're going to see the same definition. And that tells me that he's speaking the same word. So let's go to, John, Yohanan. Chapter 5, And I start at verse 19. Because we're going to talk about Yeshua. And we're going to talk about chapter 5, verse 19. Therefore, Yeshua responded and said to them, because you know he had this little, excuse me, everybody wants to hit, we need to love like him. Well, we're going to see some things in the scripture where he's giving a little tough love. Because you got some of these people that, well, we found we want to love like him. Well, you can love like him, but how are you going to love like him if you don't know who he is? If you don't know what he stands for? If you don't know what he's saying? Because we're going to see his words here. Therefore, Yeshua responded and said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, the Son is able to do none at all by himself, but only that which he sees the Father doing, because whatever he does, the Son also does likewise. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all that he himself does. And greater works than these he is going to show him in order that you marvel. For as the Father raises the dead and makes alive, even so the Son makes alive whom he wishes. That's some power. For the Father judges no one, but has given all judgment to the Son, that all should value the Son, even as they value the Father. He who does not value the Son does not value the Father who sent him. That's the issue right there. Because if you value the Son, you're going to value the Father. But if you don't, you say, well, you can't do one without the other. Nobody goes to the hardware store and buy one glove. Say, all I need is one for the day. You can do that when you go to Walmart and you buy a windshield wiper, which I get so mad about because it should be two. But you ain't going to buy one glove. You need two gloves. They come in a pair. So he's hand in hand right here. You're going to see, what did Yeshua say? He who does not value the Son does not value the Father who sent him. And you don't value his words, because we're going to get to that. He said, truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my words and believes in him who sent me possesses everlasting life and does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. How awesome is that? Truly, truly, I say to you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of Elohim, and those having heard shall live. How important it is for us to hear his voice. I don't know about you, but look, we better tune in our radars, because the society that we live in is getting more and more chaotic. Just the other day, me and my wife and I were watching the news. In Virginia, a six-year-old kid shot his school teacher. That was nonsense. I've never heard of anything like that before in my life. But this is the world we live in, where sin is just running rampant. How important it is for us to hear the voice of the Master. Especially when you're on your very last breath, like Yaakov, and like Joseph on the and King David, their very last breath. What are they still doing? They're still listening to his voice. How important that is. For as the Father possesses life in himself, so he gave also to the Son to possess life in himself. And he has given him authority also to do judgment, because he is the Son of Adam. Do not marvel at this, because the hour is coming in which all those in the tomb shall hear his voice. How many of you know what you want? How many of you want to check what that voice is? Let's look at it. G 5456 4 nay. Look at the definition. It's the same voice as Cole. The same definition. You don't get a different meaning. It might be two different words, because one's Greek, one's the Hebrew, but I promise you the definition is the same. That's so amazing. Also, you're going to get phone. G is a root word, 5316. It means to bring forth into the light, cause to shine or shed light. We have to pay attention to His word, because there come a time you're going to need this, you're going to need that light to carry you through. Do not marvel at this, because the hour is coming which all those in the tomb shall hear His voice, and some shall come forth, those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have practiced evil matters to the resurrection of judgment. How we know we said that? Because what did Jehovah say in the beginning? He said it. I just read it in Deuteronomy. Life and death, blessing and cursing. Of myself, I am unable to do any matter. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous, because I do not seek my own desire, but the desire of the Father who sent me. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There is another who bears witness of me, and I know that his witness, which he witnesses of me, is true. You have sent to Yohanan, and he bore witness to the truth, but I do not receive witness from man. But I say this in order that you might be saved. He was a burning and shining lamp, and for a while you wished to rejoice in his light. But I have greater witness than that of Yohanan, for the works that the Father gave me to accomplish, the works that I do bear witness of me, that the Father has sent me. And the Father who sent me, he bore witness of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his form. And you do not have his word staying in you, because you do not believe him who he sent. Man, this is some good, great stuff. You search the scriptures because you think you possess everlasting life in them. And these are the ones that bear witness of me. But you do not desire to come to me in order to possess life. I do not receive esteem from men. But I know you, that you do not have the love of Elohim in you. I have come in my Father's name, and you did not receive me. If anyone comes in his own name, him you would receive. How are you able to believe when you are receiving esteem from one another, and the esteem that is from the only Elohim you do not seek? I don't see about love in here. A whole lot of love going on right now. He's kind of squashing some grapes here a little bit. That's what I guess we call some tough love. Do not think that I shall accuse you to the Father. There is the one who accuses you, Moshe, in whom you have set your expectation. For if you believe Moshe, you would have believed me, since he wrote about me. But if you don't believe his writings, how shall you believe my words? This is what he says. And we in the book of love. But you see that he's getting on them. And so you got to go back and read the beginning chapter. But he's showing his authority, what the Father gave to him. And we're going to see it, because in the next reading, we're going to see that he was challenged. And it's no different than you're going to be challenged today. No matter where you go, no matter, you know, look, who you encounter, you're going to face challenges in life. But if you stick to him and his voice, you win. You can't lose. Let's just skip over a few chapters. Let's go to chapter 10. We've got to hear his voice. We've got to hear what he says to us. So in John 10, in verse 1, truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter through the door into the sheepfold, but climbs up by another way, that one is a thief and a robber. He just put that cut and dry. Why? Because he who enters through the door is the shepherd of the sheep. The doorkeeper opens for him, and the sheep hear his voice.
Hallelujah.
That's that G5456 phoné. They're all going to match with the Hebrew H6963. Go check it out for yourself. Because I sat there for almost 3 hours on the couch that morning till 7 o'clock. I said, "Spider, you got to get up and start getting ready to go to work. Got to be at work for 8. So, well, you'll be amazing once you start getting in how fast the time just goes by. But he who enters through the door is the shepherd of the sheep, and the doorkeeper opens for him, and the sheep hear his voice. How amazing is that? And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he has brought out his own sheep, he goes before them. And the sheep follow him because they know his voice.
Yes.
This is important, not just hear it, we have to know. Because why? There's a lot of voices out there today. Hey, look, if you're not paying attention, you got to watch who you're following. Who are you hearing your voice, where you get your information from? There's tricky voices out there. Misleading voices. But if we follow the shepherd of the sheep, we're going to know his voice. And they shall by no means, verse 5, shall by no means follow a stranger, but shall flee from him, because they do not know the voice of strangers. That's the tuning in right here, that we have to, because some stuff sounds pretty close. It almost sounds like his voice. How do we check it? We got to go to the Word. We got to know what he's saying. The Torah teaches us his voice, the sounds of his voice. When you look up that call, it talks about different sounds, different, it's just, his voice is so unique. I didn't write down a definition, you go look it up. You'll see what I'm talking about. Yeshua used this figure of speech, but he did not know what he had been saying to them. That sounds like some people today. Yeshua therefore said to them again, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. Whoever enters through me, he shall be saved, and shall go in and shall go out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to slaughter and to destroy." He says, "I have come that they might possess life, and they might possess it beyond measure." That word life is Zoe. G2222. The definition of it, every living soul. He don't want none to perish. He wants everybody. But that's the problem in the world today. Too many voices. You have to dig through. The only way you're going to know, how you're going to know, you got to know his voice. If not, you'll be misled. And you start saying stuff, and you start doing stuff that the Torah don't approve of. But then you'll say, because you're so delusional, you'll say things to make it look like the Torah is saying it, but it's really not. He says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd laid down his life for the sheep, but the hireling, and not being a shepherd, the one who does not own the sheep sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches the sheep and scatters them. Now the hireling flees because he is the hireling and not concerned about the sheep." There's a bunch of hireling out there. They in it just for the money. They don't care about the sheep. He says, "I am the good shepherd." He's saying it again. You think he wants you to know? "I am the good shepherd." Really, listen. That's that picture. "And I know mine, and mine know me." Wow. Even as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. What a great shepherd. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold. He's not just concerned about us and our little flock. He's concerned about others as well. He said, I have to bring them in as well, and they shall hear my voice, and they shall be one flock and one shepherd.
Amen.
Hmm. They're going to hear his voice as well. They're going to know. There's going to come a time they're going to know his voice. Because of this, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to receive it again. He said, no one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. He said, I have authority. I just read that in John 5. He had that authority. We need to honor him. And I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to receive it again. This command I have received from my Father. Again, there came a division among the Yehudim because of these words. See? He goes through some stuff. And many of them said, he has a demon and is mad. Why do you listen to him? We better listen to him. How you doing? We're going to make it. If we're going to endure to the end, shall be saved, we better be listening to him. Others say, these are not the words that are possessed by a demon. Is a demon able to open the eyes of the blind? And at that time, it was Hanukkah, came to be in Jerusalem, and it was winter. And Yeshua was walking the set-apart place in the porch of Shlomo. So the Yehudim surrounded him and said to him, how long do you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly. Now, I believe, I was sitting down and I was thinking about that. And I was sitting down and I said, Yeshua was walking with a Bible or with a scroll at that time. And they had that to him, can you tell us plainly? Because you've not been listening. Obviously, you're not listening. And you're asking that question, he probably just threw his Bible up in there. Really? Just, come on, man. That's one of them come on, man moments. Let's see what he says. He says, Yeshua answered them, I have told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness concerning me. But you do not believe because you are not of my sheep, as I said to you. He just said, we'll be following with sheep. So look, we got to be careful. My sheep, verse 27, hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. How important it is to know his voice when he's speaking. When the Father is speaking, what does he say? These are not my words. These are the Father's words. How important is that? Look, when I'm sitting myself and I'm talking to my wife, I said, Ben, what you doing? I said, well, I'm just talking to myself, preaching to myself. what else? Let's see. Verse 28. And I give them everlasting life. Hallelujah. And they shall by no means ever perish. What did he say in Deuteronomy? You're going to perish if you're not obeying. But so what Yeshua says right here, if you follow me, you're not going to perish. He's saying the same thing. And no one shall snatch them out of my hand. And my Father who has given them to me is greater than all. And no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. Because I and my Father are one. Aha, that's exactly right. Again, the Yehudim picked up stones to stone him. You think Yeshua's dad got it always easy? Just love. Okay. Yeshua answered them, many good works I've shown you from my Father. Because of which of these works do you stone me? Really? The Yehudim answered him, saying, we do not stone you for the good work, but for blasphemy, and because you, being a man, make yourself Elohim. Yeshua answered them, is it not written in your Torah, I said, you are Elohim? We're going to get to Moshe. In that chapter 3, because I went ahead and read all that, just so y'all know. And you're going to get to the part where Moshe, I don't want to go back to Egypt. I don't want to go back to Egypt. I don't talk good. I'm afraid. He's going to get. And the scripture said that, the anger of Yahweh burned against Moshe. He's not pleased with him. I'm telling you, go. I'm going to be your mouthpiece. Okay, so you know what? He said, I'm in a little leak. He says, Aharon is going to speak for you. He's going to be your mouthpiece, and you're going to be an Elohim to him. It's written in the Torah. So I wonder why Yeshua quotes this kind of stuff. But he's making reference right here in the Psalms 82:6. If he called them Elohim, to whom the word of Elohim came, and is it possible for the scripture to be broken? It doesn't change. What was written in the beginning is still the same today. It can't be broken. I don't care. Look, you can't break it if you try. I can't break it. I don't have that authority. So I don't know who can. Hold on to your tzitzit. Do you say of him whom the Father set apart and said into the world, you are blaspheming because I said I am the son of Elohim? If I do not do the works of my Father, do not believe me. But if I do, though you do not believe me, believe the works, so that you know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. Therefore they were seeking again to seize him, but he went forth out of their hand and went once more to the other side of the Jordan, to the place where Yohanan was immersing at the first, and there he stayed. And many came to him and said, Yohanan indeed did no sign, yet all that Yohanan said about this man was true, and many believed in him there. Boy, I tell you. So look, Yeshua was up against it. He also said, they hated me before they hated you. Just like they persecuted the Father before you, they're going to persecute you. We can't forget his words. We can't forget his voice because he said these things. How do I know? Because I go back and I check. And how do I know that he's right? Because the Father says the same thing. Oh, boy. Now, Acts 7. This was so good. This was mentioned but never read. Now, when it was mentioned, I think it's Saturday, I said, well, I hope you don't go on Acts 7 and give me a chance to read it. Oh, boy. And the high priest said, is this so? And he replied, men, brothers, and fathers, listen. That's that Shema. The Elohim of esteem appeared to our father Abraham when he was in Abraham Naharim, before he dwelt in Haran, and said to him, come out of your land and from your relatives and come here into a land that I shall show you. What have we been talking about? Land. Because this is where it all goes back to. Oh boy. It's amazing how when you get in the Brit Hadashah, it just goes right back to the beginning. It points you right back to the Father, what it's designed to do. But there's other teachings out there that take the difference and say, this is all we need. Well, if this is all you need, when we get to the next few scriptures, we can go back and see all the references, where they reference to. I wonder what we do with that. How are we going to know what his voice says if we can't go back and check it? And he said to him, come out of the land and from your relatives and come here into a land that I show you. That's Genesis 12:1. And he came out of the land of the Chaldeans and dwelt in Haran. And from there, after the death of his father, he removed him to this land in which you now dwell. And he gave him no inheritance in it, not a foot. But he promised to give it to him for a possession and to his seed after him, when as yet he had no child. So we know, remember all this story. Remember the story of Abraham. He had no child. What are you going to give me? Eliezer is my only servant in the house. He's going to inherit my stuff. He said, you're going to have a son, Abraham. I'm telling you, just hold on to my voice. And he showed him all the land. We know this. Look at all the references. If you have the scriptures by, you see all the references. It goes back to how he points you right back to Bereshit, where they get all the stories from. How important is it we need it? Because we won't know the covenant And what are we talking about? He made the covenant with us. He made the covenant with your forefathers. And you can come into that covenant if you're obedient. And Elohim spoke in this way, that his seed would be sojourning in a foreign land, and that they would be enslaved and mistreated 400 years. Genesis 15:13. And the nation to whom they shall be enslaved, I shall judge, said Elohim. And after that, they shall come out and serve me in this place. And he gave him the covenant of circumcision. And so he brought forth Yitzhak and circumcised him on the eighth day. And Yitzhak brought forth Yaakov. And Yaakov brought forth the 12 ancestors. And one of them being Yosef, who we just finished with. And thank Yehovah for Yosef. Because the whole land was perishing. But there was bread. And we're going to get to that part. We're going to hear the part, my favorite part. He's going to say, and Yaakov heard that there was food in Mizraim. There was bread. And the ancestors becoming jealous, sold Yosef into Mizraim. But Elohim was with him. Elohim was with Yosef. Through the trouble, through the struggles, in the pit, out the pit, in the back in the pit, in the inner prison. He was with Yosef. And delivered him out of all his affliction, and gave him favor and wisdom before Pharaoh, sovereign of Mizraim, and appointed him governor over the Mizraim and all his house. Yosef was in charge. He was the man. He said, I'm going to make you, Yehovah, I'm going to make you a father to Pharaoh. Boy, that was some, that tell you what. So when he's listening to the voice and paying attention, how many we need all this stuff. You need favor. You need wisdom. Then a scarcity of food and great distress came over all the land of Mizraim and Canaan, and our fathers found no food. But Yaakov heard. I wonder how he got his information. And there was grain in Mizraim, Genesis 42:2. And he sent out our fathers for the first time. He sent out our fathers. You hear that? Hear that voice? He sent out your fathers. Whatever tribe you want to fit in, we might be all from the same tribe. But it doesn't matter. Like I said, Moshe from the Levites. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's one way Yahweh said, look, take your shoes off, Moshe. You might be related to Moshe. We're only going to know in time. But Yaakov heard that there was grain in Mizraim, and he sent out our fathers the first time. And at the second time, Yosef was made known to his brothers, and Yosef's race became known to Pharaoh. And Yosef sent and called his father Yaakov and all his brothers to him, 75 people. And Yaakov went down to Mizraim and died, he and our fathers. And they were brought over to Shechem and laid in the tomb of Abraham, bought for a price of silver from the sons of Hamor, the father of Shechem. Well, when we read this, where is Stephen bringing him back to? Back to the Torah. What are we learning here? What are we teaching here? You can't do away with it. You need it. We need his words. But at the time of the promise drew near, which Elohim had swore to Abraham, the people increased and multiplied in Mizraim until another sovereign arose who did not know Yosef. Having dealt treacherously with our race, this one mistreated our fathers, making them expose their babies so that they should not live. At that time, Moshe was born, and he was well-pleasing to Elohim, and he was reared 3 months in the house of his father. But when he was exposed, the daughter of Pharaoh took him up and reared him as her own son. We're going to learn about that. We're going to learn that she makes the basket and put him in there, and we'll save it. I don't want to leak too much information out. You can't help it, dude. Oh, boy. And at that time, Moshe was born. He was well put. I read that. And verse 22, and Moshe was instructed in all the wisdom of the Mitzrite, and was mighty in words and work. But when he's standing before Yehovah, I can't speak that well. I can't. Because, if you see a bush burning and it's not being consumed and a voice speaks out from you, I probably would have passed out. And he said, take off your sandals because you don't stand on holy ground. Wow. Tell you, it's going to be good. You don't want to miss Friday night. And when he was 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brothers, the children of Israel. And seeing one of them being wrong, he defended and revenged him who was oppressed, smiting the Mitzrayim. And he thought that his brothers would have understood that Elohim would give deliverance to them by his hand, but they did not understand. And the next day he appeared to two of them as they were fighting and urged them to peace, saying, men, you are brothers, why do you wrong one another? That happens today. But he who was wrong his neighbor pushed him away, saying, who made you a ruler and judge over us? Do you wish to kill me as you killed the Mitzrayim yesterday? Exodus 2:14. And at this saying, Moshe fled and became a sojourner in the land of Midian, where he fathered two sons, learned to be a shepherd. And after 40 years were completed, so now he's 80, a messenger of Yehovah appeared to him in the flame of fire in a bush in the wilderness of Mount Sinai. And Moshe, seeing it, marveled at the sight, and coming near to look, the voice of Yehovah came to him and saying, I am the Elohim of your fathers, the Elohim of Abraham, the Elohim of Isaac, and the Elohim of Yaakov. And Moshe trembled and did not have the courage to look. What a sight that must have been. And he's telling them, Yahweh is revealing himself to him. Tell him who he is. Who is he? He's the father of who? Abraham, Isaac, and Yaakov. We got to go to work. But Yahweh said to him, take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is set apart ground. You know, Yah has things that set apart. That set apart ground, and as we said about his Shabbat, it's set apart. I have certainly seen the evil treatment of my people who are in Mitzrayim, and I have heard their groanings, and have come down to deliver them. And now let me send you to Mitzrayim. This Moshe, whom they have refused, saying, who made you a ruler and a judge? This one Elohim sent to be ruler and deliverer by the hand of the messenger who appeared to him in the bush. And this one led them out. And after he had done wonders and signs in the land of Mitzrayim and in the Red Sea and the wilderness 40 years. That's why Yeshua said, if you believe Moshe's writing, he wrote about me. This is all, we're not just preaching Moshe, 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 like people think. He was Yah's man at the time. Yah used him mightily, just like he used Abraham, just like he used Isaac and Yaakov and all the forefathers, and Yosef. He used these guys. This is the Moshe who said to the children of Israel, Yehovah, your Elohim, shall raise up for you a prophet like me from your brothers. Him you shall hear. Anybody want to guess who that prophet is in Deuteronomy 18:15? Oh boy. It's amazing we got ears to hear, but we don't understand, like Jeremiah said. You got eyes to see, but you can't see. You got a heart to know, but you don't want to know. That's the problem. He said, only if they would turn back, I would heal them. Turn back to what? His voice, what he speaks, what he says. This is he who was in the assembly in the wilderness with the messengers who spoke to him on Mount Sinai and with our fathers who received the living word to give to us. To who? To us. To give his word to us. We need this. Unto whom our fathers would not become obedient. How sad that is. But thrust away, and in their heart they turned back to Mizraim, saying to Aharon, make us mighty ones to go before us, for this Moshe who led us up out of the land of Mizraim, we do not know what has become of him. We know what Moshe is doing. He's receiving the word. And they made a calf in those days and brought an offering to the idol and were rejoicing in the works of their hands. And we see that in Revelation. They're going to be rejoicing in the work of their hands until they hear the voice, come up here. Boy, I didn't even get to that. I left that out. And he's going to say, the witnesses are going to stand up. And what? What's going to happen? There won't be no more rejoicing. The scripture said there'd be fear, men's heart failing. So important to pay attention to his words. So Elohim turned and gave them up to worship the host of the heaven, as it has been written in the book of the prophets. He ain't talking about the New Testament where it's written. He said it's written in the book of the prophets. Did you bring slaughter beasts and offer unto me during these 40 years in the wilderness, O house of Israel? You can look at the reference. It's left of Matthew where you're going to find this. The tent of witnesses was with our fathers in the wilderness, as he appointed, instructing Moshe to make it according to the pattern that he had seen. Did Moshe do this himself? No. He had to follow instructions. So do we have to follow instructions. Which our fathers have received it in turn, also brought with Yehoshua into the land possessed by the nation, whom Elohim drove out before the face of our father until the day of David, who found favor before Elohim and asked to find a dwelling for the Elohim of Yaakov, but Shlomo built him a house. However, the Most High does not dwell in dwelling made with hands, as the prophet says, the heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. What house shall you build for me, says Jehovah, or what is the place of my rest? Has my hand not made these? You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the set-apart spirit, as your father did, you also do. Don't sound like a whole lot of loving going on right there in that verse of scripture. And we're going to find out what happened. Poor Stephen. Which of the fathers did your fathers not persecute? Oh, that's a tough one. And they killed those who before announcing the coming of the righteous one, of whom you now have become the betrayers and murderers, who received the Torah as it was ordained by messengers, but did not watch over it. They have it, but they didn't watch over it. They didn't guard it. Oh, boy. So what happened at this point? And hearing... Hearing what? The voice that Stephen was, because he was speaking the voice of the Father. He was speaking the voice of Yeshua. They were cut to the heart and gnashed their teeth at him. I can see it. I'm sure. A little sound effect tonight, but it's good. But he, being filled with set apart spirit, looked steadfast into the heaven and saw the esteem of Elohim and Yeshua standing at the right hand of Elohim. And he said, look, I see the heavens open and the Son of Adam standing at the right hand of Elohim. Huh? What was the right hand? Benjamin, son of the right hand. Look, all this stuff matches when you sit down and take your time and listen And open your heart, your ear to understand. Tune it in. You'll see all the tie-ins. And crying out with a loud voice, they stopped their ears. What? What'd they do? What did some religious folks do? They're told, we don't want to hear it. Don't speak no more. Mm-hmm. You hear that? They stopped their ears. Where's Stephen taking them back to? The beginning. So we can't say, well, we just need the Brit Hadasha. Because if you just need the Brit Hadasha, you're lying. They stopped their ears and rushed upon him with one mind and threw him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their garments at the feet of a young man named Shaul. That's a whole nother teaching. And they were stoning Stephanus as he was calling and saying, Master Yeshua, receive my spirit. And kneeling down, he cried out with a loud voice. I mean, you want to guess what that is? Master, do not hold the sin against him. And having said this, he fell asleep. What an awesome statement. Master, do not hold the sin against him. What a prayer. What a saying. Look, when I was sitting there going, I don't know how I stayed 3 hours in this by myself. When you're by yourself, you burn time. This was a little quick. But man, let me tell you, this is so good. I needed it. When I was sitting down reading it, because we need to pay attention to when he speaks. When he's speaking, come Friday night, when pastor's standing here and you listen to these words, you listen to the voice. Listen to the voice that's coming out. Listen to what's coming out of his mouth. The word that we should be kissing coming out of his mouth, because why? It points to the Torah. It points to Yeshua. He is the Torah. That's what he is. He's the living Torah. So how do you say you don't want the Torah? It does not say you don't want the Torah. You don't want him. So that's the issue with people today. That's people that stop their ears and don't want to hear truth. Because truth is always going to be the truth. And that's just what it is. That's all I have. I can't believe I got all that in. I thought my wife said, babe, you going to be long-winded? I said, maybe. It's just, I had one more, but I don't know why I put it in here. I got to see what I had. I just put it as a side note. And it was Matthew. Might have been something I was reading. Let me just double check. Matthew 4:16. Oh, yeah, I know what it was. It says, the people who sat in darkness saw a great light. And upon those who sat in the land and shadow of death, a light arose on them. And I was looking at that because I was looking down with that word, Pharaoh, G 53:16, to bring forth into the light. That's what. That's Matthew 4:16. I was just making reference to myself on that. Because this is what he brings forth into light. Because remember Nazareth? What it was saying? Is anything good thing come out of Nazareth? Light has dawned. So when there was light, the scripture says, well, Yehovah was. So that's all I have. I don't want to leak out any more information for Shabbat, Friday night. Y'all come expecting. I don't know about y'all, but I do. And I went through it, I read it today, and I read this and read that, and it's just so good. And he has been good to us. And we owe it all to him. Without him, we do not exist. So, I guess any prayer requests? I know.